Friday, December the 5th, 2025, in the United States of America and the City and County of San Francisco. We are now in session and the meeting is called to order. Dan, please call the roll.
Member Afuamengo?
Present.
Afuamengo is present. Member Dignan will be joining us shortly. Member Lozano?
Present.
Lozano is present. Member Ortiz?
Present.
Ortiz is present. Member Palmer?
Present.
Palmer is present. Member Sue?
Present.
Sue is present. Mr. President, we have a quorum.
Thanks, Dan. Dan will now read the land acknowledgement.
The Sheriff's Department Oversight Board respectfully acknowledges that we are gathered on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, or forgotten their responsibilities as caretakers of this place and all who reside within their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their homeland. We offer our respect to the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and confirm their sovereign rights as the first peoples of this region.
And Dan's announcement on public comment.
On behalf of the Sheriff's Department Oversight Board, we thank the staff at SFGov-TV for providing technical support to broadcast and record today's meeting. The meeting can be viewed on SFGov-TV online or on cable channel 26. This is the board's regular monthly public meeting held in person. Members of the public are encouraged to attend and observe. However, only those attending in person may provide public comment, except for individuals with disabilities requiring accommodation. Public comments may be submitted in person by email at sdob@sfgov.org or by mail to the Office of the Sheriff's Inspector General, 1 South Van Ness Avenue, 8th floor, San Francisco, California, 94103. In-person commenters may speak when the item is called with a 2-minute time limit per speaker. A tone will sound at 30 seconds remaining and again when the time expires. A general comment period will follow the agenda for items within the board's jurisdiction. Please silence all cell phones to avoid interruptions. Mr. President, this concludes announcements.
Thanks, Dan. Before we continue, I just wanted to make a brief statement. Good afternoon. And before we continue, I just want to remind everybody that there is no signs in the room. So but this isn't your time to speak. I'm gonna make this statement, before we begin. I'm making a public statement for the public. Good afternoon. On behalf of the Sheriff's Department Oversight Board, I want to acknowledge the recent news reports about several women in the sheriff's custody who alleged they were subject to strip searches that may have violated policy, including being stripped in view of male deputies and recorded on body-worn cameras. We understand the sheriff's office is currently investigating the incident. Because this matter is under active investigation, neither the oversight board nor the sheriff's office can discuss the specific details at this time. However, we want to reassure the public that we are in ongoing communications with the sheriff's office and we are following developments closely and with great care. As soon as information can be legally shared, we will ensure the community is updated. In general, we recognize how difficult it may be for people who have felt harm to come forward and report incidents. Reporting events that have impact lives and difficult not only for the individual, but also for the families and for our community. We invite anyone affected by the allegations to come forward come before this body to express their concerns. The sheriff's rules are in place to ensure that every person in custody is safe and treated with dignity and respect. We also want to take a moment to emphasize the importance of independent civilian oversight, especially when incidents like these come to light. The Sheriff's Department Oversight Board was created to ensure transparency, accountability, and community voice. At a time when streamlining commissions has recommended changes to this board, these recent reports underscore exactly why oversight matters. Our role is not symbolic. It is essential. Our commitment to protecting the rights, dignity, and humanity of every person in the sheriff's custody remains steadfast. We will continue to do this work because the community deserves nothing less. Thank you.
This was part of public announcements.
Dan, can you please call the first agenda item?
You can speak during general public comment. This was an announcement. Thank you. We have to proceed per the agenda.
You have not answered my question about what item on the agenda is this man's statement.
Calling line item one, welcome new board member discussion item. The board welcomes mayor appointee Diane Lozana. Sir, there will be time for general comment at the end of the meeting.
I know that, but you're not addressing the matter of you have revised your agenda without informing the public and without giving us the chance to make public comment on his statement.
This was a general announcement at the beginning of the meeting. It was a general announcement at the beginning of the meeting.
Which is not on your agenda. No, agenda item one is welcome new board members.
Do you want to call sheriff?
Announce, sir. We have announcements right here at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. This is not okay. I will sit down, but this is not okay.
Calling line item one. Welcome new board member. Discussion item. The board welcomes mayor appointee Diane Lozano to the Sheriff's Department Oversight Board. Member Lozano will introduce herself and share a brief background. Member Lozano.
Thank you. Again, I'm Diane Lozano. I want to thank Mayor Lurie for appointing me and giving me this opportunity. I'm a recent transplant to San Francisco after working for 30 years as a public defender in Wyoming. 17 of those years, I was the state public defender, so I directed the entire state public defender agency. I am currently the executive director of a small nonprofit called Full Picture Justice. We provide mitigation, investigation, and capital and extreme sentencing cases. And we also participate in our community via a healing circle that we conduct weekly on 16th and Mission. I look forward to working with you all and members of my new community so that I can continue to serve my my new community, as I said, and continue in public service that I believe should be centered in human dignity and accountability, especially for those who are within and impacted by the criminal justice system.
Welcome.
Thank you.
At this time, members of the public wishing to provide comments regarding line item one, welcome new board member, are invited to approach the podium when it becomes available. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Michael Petrelis. Is this on? Yes, there it is now. Hello, my name is Michael Petrelis, and I'm addressing item one to Diane. Diane, that was a very nice introduction, but I would like to know, what is your commitment to public comment being made remotely so that people who have issues with the Sheriff's Department don't have to go through the Sheriff's Department to enter the building? I really think it is necessary for you to explain to us how you will be handling issues moving forward. Your resume was very nice, but the future of what will happen when items come up regarding public comment and the investigation of the women who were strip searched, I'd like to know if you will be taking orders from the mayor. Will you be voting independently? These are important matters I think you should have addressed in your introduction, Diane.
Thank you. I don't know that it's appropriate for me to address public comment at this time.
Well, I'll be coming back and monitoring how you'll be voting, and I think it is really crucial that in the future, you and all new members, when you are introducing yourselves, that you are telling us how you will be independent from the mayor or whomever is appointing you. It is crucial that we know this. Thank you very much.
Right, calling line item 2, approval of minutes, action item. Consideration and possible approval of the November 14th, 2025 board meeting minutes.
Colleagues, I move that we approve the minutes from the November 14th, 2025 meeting.
I second it.
At this time, members of the public wishing to provide comments regarding line item 2, approval of minutes, are invited to approach the podium when it becomes available. Mr. Petrelis.
Hello, Michael Petrelis again. I am commenting on item 2, which is about your minutes from your November meeting. And I notice that for every item where it says public comment, there generally is no public comment. For example, report from the Department of Police Accountability, public comment says there was no public comment. Later on, there is some public comment made here in person. I'm very concerned that you do not take public comment remotely, that you make people come down here. A lot of people who are have been traumatized by the sheriff have to go through the sheriff security to come here to speak to you in the middle of the day. I believe that mothers, fathers with kids, that folks should be allowed to dial in and make public comment. There is so much oversight that you are not providing by denying the public the right to make remote public comment really needs to be addressed. I would like to single out the people who did come last month, schlepped all the way down here, went through Department of Sheriff's deputies to come here and speak to you for 2 minutes. Many of those folks probably traveled an hour to get here and will travel an hour to get back home for 2 minutes of public comment. You need to start taking remote public comment. Thank you.
On the call of the roll on the approval of minutes, Member Afuhamango.
Aye.
Afuhamango is aye. Member Lozano.
Aye.
Lozano is aye. Member Ortiz.
Aye.
Ortiz is aye. Member Palmer.
Aye.
Palmer is aye. Member Sue.
Aye.
Sue is aye. There are 5 ayes and no nays. The minutes from the November 14, 2025 meeting are approved.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda.
Calling line item 3, board member report discussion item. Member Sue will give an update on the commission streamlining task force meetings.
Thank you, Dan. So the the Commission Streamlining Task Force met again, we were shifted down the road. We didn't align with a particular template, as I had pointed out to the Commission Task Force. While we are labeled advisory, we still are able to make policy recommendations. The label for our board is primarily because the sheriff is duly elected and not appointed. Significantly from the prior meeting is that there was a suggestion to have the terms be 3 years, and when I pointed out that the terms were actually staggered, it was brought back to 4 years. The positive point was that we will not be a sunsetted body. There was contemplation of sunsetting our body. I think there's now strong recognition that we did not have enough funding to fund our Inspector General's office, and consequently, our Inspector General left us, and so we are in the position we are now of searching for another Inspector General. The other point is that we will be moved from a chartered body to the administrative code, something that should be of concern for the public. When a body is in the charter, it is by will of the voters. And so this also significantly impacts the Commission on the Status of Women, of which many of you know I was on for 12 years. And I believe that a lot of the work goes hand in hand in that our first responders, some of their most dangerous calls are the domestic violence calls. The other point is the task force for some reason decided to remove the subpoena power of our board. They were citing that because the Inspector General had subpoena power. I think it's important for us to maintain subpoena power, though we have not had to use it. We've had a very open relationship with the sheriff's office and open communication. But I think it's important, should we need to exercise that power, that it is at our disposal. So those are the things that came out of the last meeting, where they called us as well as the Department of Police Accountability. And it was important to have the Department of Police Accountability there at the same time because, as many of you know, under a memorandum of understanding, the Department of Police Accountability supports investigations of the more serious nature of the sheriff's office. So with that being said, as we move forward, all these draftings will go to the Board of Supervisors, and then there'll be additional time to comment, and I hope that members of the board will make themselves available, and then the Board of Supervisors will then craft something that potentially will be on the ballot. I think the time frame is November, so I don't know what shape and form, but there's still time to make comments, but I think the task force is really in a time crunch, and I don't think they had the time to actually suss out what every board does and the intimate details. So I think it's important if you can't appear in person, and more importantly, even if you do appear in person, to submit written comment. Dan and I submitted 71 pages of the work we do, including our reports, our annual reports, the Inspector General's report, and also I want to remind the board members, and especially our newer board members, that Dan organized our particular meetings based on subject matter. There hasn't been training sessions, and in the charter it indicates that we have 80 hours of training. The members who have been here longer received 20 hours, but it was a funding issue. So if you go onto our website, you can actually look at various meetings, and I intentionally called speakers that would give us an overview of particular things. For instance, Marshall Kine did a really great job of describing administrative hearings versus criminal hearings and the firewall that is needed with evidentiary issues. And then we also talk about auditing and things like that. So it's a good refresher, even if we've gone through it. And I hope, I invite the public to look at our website. And again, any input, we would welcome input. And our email address, again, is SD, as OB, as in Sheriff's Department Oversight Board, at sfgov.org. or sorry, sfgov.org, yes. So we would welcome input. We've taken a lot of input, and the more timely something is provided to us, the quicker we can investigate and address. So thank you.
Julie, I have a question on the recruitment agency. Was there, I know you had mentioned it, but maybe I missed this, the timeline of when we would, I know some of them had reached out.
Yeah, that was a separate item from the commission task force. So this is like strictly the commission task force.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So we could actually, we'll address that at future agenda
items. Yes, that's great. Yes. Thank you. Okay, I misunderstood.
And I again, thank you, Member Afamango, for staying on top of these Mission Streamlining Task Force meetings and offering your comment so you can phone in your comments as well.
I have a question. In the changes that they are recommending to make to this board and I guess other boards in general, but this one specifically, what gives them the authority to make changes that the voters voted on for this board to be in existence?
I think that is probably an open question for the city attorney's office to address down the road as they craft input from this task force. So, Jesse, if you would like to address that.
Sure. So my understanding of the task force is at this point it's, you know, developing recommendations essentially. And those recommendations then will be forwarded to the Board of Supervisors, which can put the measure on the ballot. And then the people of San Francisco will be able to vote on those changes or not. There are some changes which I don't think apply to this board that the commission can make directly. But for charter boards and commissions, they make their recommendations. The Board of Supervisors decides whether it will accept those and then whether it wants to put it on the ballot. So that change would be done by the voters.
That makes sense. Thank you. Is there any public comment?
At this time, members of the public wishing to provide comments regarding line item 3, board member report, are invited to approach the podium when it becomes available. Mr. Petrelis.
Hi, Michael Petrelis again. Julie, thank you very much for that presentation. It was very informative about changes that are being discussed. Mr. Palmer, I believe that during this item, you should have noted in advance on the agenda that your report would include the statement that you read. It is really incumbent upon you to explain why in advance of today's meeting, you didn't put on the agenda that you would be discussing the strip search of women a few months ago inside the city jails by the deputies. It's not okay that at the start of the meeting, you basically made a member report without stating that, without putting it on the agenda. Now, the other item is that none of you members cared enough to put this matter of the women who were strip searched by the deputies on the agenda for today. There were maybe 100 people who turned out more than a week ago at the city jail to call attention to the potential violation of the human rights of these women who were incarcerated and in the care of the deputies. Are you not aware of that fact that it needed to be on your agenda today? It is really, really wrong what you did to change your agenda, Mr. Palmer, with your statement at the beginning and then not taking public comment on that. And the fact that you changed your agenda without public comment is really an ethical lapse.
Next agenda. Sorry.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Malik Washington. I'm a journalist. I'm also a community organizer, and I did a year in the custody of San Francisco County Sheriff's Office. And I was recently released. So I'm aware of the positives, the pros, the cons, and the negatives inside the jail. If some of you might be familiar with me, I recently received an honor from the San Francisco Board of Supervisors for my journalism and my advocacy for people that are in District 5, and also for establishing a nonprofit called Destination Freedom Media Group with my wife, Gail, who is sitting right there. And as you can see, I'm married, I have a wife, I respect her. The problem is I feel that the bureaucracy is not doing our sisters who are incarcerated justice, the bureaucracy, because we need to act more quickly, okay? Now remember, these deputies that are involved are given due process, and they're supposedly supposed to be innocent before proven guilty. This is the laws that we stand on, our constitutional law. How much longer do I have?
About 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
All I want to say is that the bureaucracy is standing in the way of justice. Our community members, who are mostly pre-trial detainees, they still hold certain constitutional rights. And many of them, I'm talking to the women.
Yeah.
Please, feel their pain. Put yourself in their shoes. Have a great afternoon, and thank you for letting me be heard.
Thank you.
As a reminder, that was a public comment for the board member report. We understand there is a lot of comments made, general comments about this, what's going on with the strip searches. But as President Palmer said at the beginning, we cannot comment on any ongoing investigations. Thank you. Any other public comment for board member report? Calling line item 4, 2026 priorities, tasks, and benchmarks, discussion item, and possible action item. Vice President Afuamango will present the proposed 2026 priorities, tasks, and benchmarks schedule for the board's discussion and potential approval.
I don't know if I can comment on the previous. I won't talk about the case, but I just wanted to thank the audience members for bringing it to our attention. We know it's important, and I will discuss with our board later about what we can do. Okay, so I wanted to talk about the 2026 priorities, tasks, and benchmarks. You guys have a draft in your hand. I noted first, just so you guys can understand, I think you need to look at page 1. Kind of like our board priorities, I think IG recruitment is the most pressing. And then I laid out other topics which are ongoing, you know, client and impacted families. I think the quality of the jail food is something that William Palmer has spearheaded. Sheriff challenges, that's also ongoing. Community engagement and general board responsibilities. I also noted in the bottom portion about kind of like past guest speakers and topics that we've had over the last 2-3 years. It's a little bit harder balance to strike because we have a little bit more seasoned members, like looking at Julie and William and I, who have heard from these past speakers, and then we have more newish members who, I don't know, it might benefit you guys to kind of get a lay of the land of, you know, just understanding Sheriff's Department and all the different touch points that the clients interact with like the public defender's office, district attorney, and so forth. On the back sheet, it's very streamlined. There's not really, I kind of just touched on what our board tasks deadlines are due, like for instance our Q4 report, our annual report that's due to the Board of Supervisors, and so forth. I laid it out by month. And then I don't know, Dan, if we've moved Melinda Benson's topic to January, but I know that she was supposed to speak at this meeting, but I don't know what happened there. So I just moved it to January. But as you can see, board members, it's very bare bones. And what's helpful about laying out the plan, and I understand some of the members had raised a flag of like not wanting us to be tied and being flexible as important topics come up, like, you know, especially important to the community, which is that's the idea of this is really like just for us to keep track and also specifically for Dan to make sure he has enough appropriate time to invite the guest speakers and also for the guest speakers to have time to rearrange their schedule to come to our meetings. So that's why I think it's beneficial for us to kind of at least maybe if we want, if we don't want to bake it for the whole year, we can do it on a rolling basis by quarter. Like,
well, if I may, this is somewhat of an outline, but it could still be a bit fluid and flexible. Yes, so we can absolutely. Just, I mean, I think this is great because, you know, prison legal services, I've definitely been wanting to connect and learn more about it and see how we can, see what's going on there and how, you know, the guests can, the incarcerated, you know, individuals can access all those services and what that really looks like and how we can, you know, for me, I'm all about advocacy and connecting and just understanding it better can help me as well.
Yeah.
The IG recruitment is really key as well, as we do need an IG to investigate inside when things are going on, like, you know what I mean? So, those kind of things. I like this. I think this is great.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm open to suggestions where the board can, do we need to wait for a meeting to discuss like what's important, or can I get just kind of like what the board members want to see that their priorities for the newer members specifically, I think would be helpful.
So Dan, our login isn't quite working on here. So I don't know if it's because we moved rooms. But I just want to say, in the past, we've had, and if you look at our past meetings, we actually, I did log in and it didn't work. Oh, I don't want to log in with yours, because you're controlling who's speaking. So I wanted to say we did have more detail, and I always appreciate Member Afamango or Vice President Afamango's outlines, because they're just much more readable. But we always were fluid with our tasks. It's just that we wanted to demonstrate for ourselves and hold ourselves accountable that we're moving forward with particular issues.
Oh, nice.
And it's been, you know, difficult this year without an inspector general.
Yeah.
And as you know, even when I wasn't on the executive board, I don't like sitting in meetings and not moving forward. And so even when we were recruiting the first IG, I actually had particular benchmarks that we could mark off. Yeah. And then even if we have, you know, repeat speakers, things do change with different departments, and so we invite them back. We moved Melinda to January because we now have Chief John Ramirez. So it's helpful to actually coordinate through Chief Ramirez when we have the speakers. But be clear that when we invite speakers, we've had some kind of outreach to them and maybe some kind of relationship. It's not relying on Dan to cold call a speaker.
Oh,
so I want to make it really, really clear. So anytime I invited a speaker, I issued the invitation, but I would copy Dan on it so that they could accommodate, Dan could accommodate scheduling, any kind of audio visual. So it was not, you know, we should not burden poor Dan with all of contacting the speakers. And so this provides a guideline. So I would invite the board members to actually email Dan because, as you know, we can't communicate with each other or violate the Brown Act and Sunshine Ordinance. So make sure that you send your suggestions to Dan. He will cull the notes, and then we can discuss it at the next meeting.
Thank you, Julie. That's so helpful. This is obviously me being very green to this position. I was like, I don't know how it works, but guests show up every meeting. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, I think Dan was going to send after this meeting maybe like the copies of our 2023 past year agendas, just so you guys can get an idea of like who we've invited. And to Julie's point, departments change, the leaders change, so it might be of use for us to hear repeat topics. So
and the videos might be helpful, but Chief Ramirez has assured me that the Sheriff's Office will break out some time for some formal training for the new members. And so it will, I think it works out that we, it's kind of, I want to say 2.5 because Member Ortiz has been with us for a while but hasn't gone through formal training. But we can't do more than three at a time or we'll end up having a quorum. So, training three at a time.
And again, right, it's pretty fluid. So, I mean, for me, one of the things, I like the community engagement piece. That is key for me, and being able to bring in more community to speak and present any type of reports that they may have, any surveys that they may have done in community regarding anything for them to also present. So I hope that that's something that we can include.
And we've done hybrid with community. We've gone out, and some of the attendance has been more sparse. So we got dual feedback that some people prefer to come to City Hall. So we will work it. And in the past, we ended up really focusing more on the district. We kind of did it by supervisorial districts, but also in neighborhoods where criminal justice has impacted the communities more. So I don't want any community to feel like they were ignored. And again, I hope that we have community feedback through our email as well, if you would like us to go out to your neighborhood. And then I would invite the guests or the public to also suggest a meeting area, what's convenient. So it could be a community office, that kind of thing, or church. We always welcome interaction with our community. And then as we get into the holiday season as well, we'll be out there. But also in the fall, we tend to have like the National Night Out. And then we didn't have Faith in Blue this year, but we also really interact with our junior deputies. And it's a really nice way to see our young people interacting with the public and leadership training. Mm-hmm.
So, Julie, I think I mentioned in the previous one, or maybe we will talk about it in a future agenda item. So I was thinking about maybe layering in the IG recruitment process or milestone that we're going for in this, just as a note. And then the other call out was just these community events. I just copied from years past, but, you know, the board members, you guys are welcome to include any community events that you think are maybe important to include in this. And yes, I think that's it for me.
Anybody else?
I think a lot of the things that we discussed just now about this is great. One of the things that I wanted to highlight is I remember when I was a kid and going to a field trip to City Hall or museums and learning how the city works was fascinating. And at one time I wanted to become an attorney because of that. But I think inviting, like field trips from our schools to come in and have them ask questions and hear like from the mouths of babes, like what do they think grown-ups behind desks do and how does it impact their lives. Most definitely, I see some improvements of where we can hold community engagements and how we hold them, having a hybrid of some type of online as well as in person. I know it is hard to get to places at specific times, depending on your work schedule and your family life and other things that you have to do just to manage households. So just giving the public alternatives on how to participate in governing ourselves as a community. And I noticed like in June, there's a lot of things that happen in June that isn't on here that I would like to see. But I think we'd be able to make this year's agenda or this 2026 priorities and tasks and benchmarks very unique just because we have different board members. And being able to draw from you guys and the rest of us will create a more diverse agenda. So I look forward to it.
So Mr. President, I just want to remind you, though, that at the core, we are accountable. So the reports and things like that stay fixed. So that's what we've done. That's what we've done all along. So
one thing I think is important.
It's in the charter too. So
I think one thing that's important is fixing things that don't work mm-hmm. as we go along. When community members speak. And we listen, and we come back with solutions, alternatives to the way things have been. Nothing changes without changes.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep doing the same thing and expect something to change. So one of the things that we're here to do is make sure that the sheriff's office and those associated with the sheriff's office are doing the things that the community asked them to do, which is to change certain behaviors, certain I like to call them cultures, that breed a certain behavior and attitude and so on and so forth. So if we are going to oversee the sheriff's office and ask them to make changes, I think then we have to make some changes as well where it's possible. Where we have to stick to a certain guideline and that is mandated by law, then we will do that without a doubt. For surety, Dan and the attorney and Julie will keep us in line on that for sure with their expertise as lawyers and admin. But for those who are like laymen or coming from community backgrounds to where a lot of these rules and regulations aren't familiar, we always have ideas like, why we can't do this? So those questions create a robust conversation that says, yeah, why can't we do it differently? And we'll see if we can, we cannot. But I think what makes boards, especially those who are overseeing agencies that have such powerful and such broad authority over human lives, is that when the community makes a complaint or brings an issue to light, that we take that serious. That isn't just something that's we don't agree with. Well, that's your politics or that's your views. We should take every concern very seriously, which we do. I'm not saying we don't. And when we do those things, that means things are going to change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is there any other discussions or comments we would like to make before we move to public comment? Dan?
At this time, members of the public wishing to provide comments regarding line item 4, 2026 priorities, tasks, and benchmarks are invited to approach the podium when it becomes available.
Good afternoon. I just found out you were having this oversight committee hearing and wanted to stop by just to let you know I'm a native Coloradan. I've been in San Francisco now for 10 years. I've lived most of my adult life in Boulder County. And the qualitative difference between the sheriff's department here and your law enforcement and where I come from is profound. My experience with the sheriff of San Francisco has been positive. They've gone over and above to be helpful, to be protective. I've met a few that weren't, you know, perfect and were a little bit rude, but, you know, that was kind of on the ground. But, for example, I'm dealing with a housing issue. I have to have the sheriff serve papers to the managers where I live. The front office was incredible. They were helpful. The sheriffs there made sure that everything was taken care of. They oversaw everything with such humane detail. I just had to tell you how grateful I am. And coming from a place where, in time of trouble, the sheriff participated in intolerance and degradation of citizens, and in times of grand larceny, I owned a gold mine in Colorado. I had, you know, thousands of tons of gold-bearing ore stolen from the property. My sheriff refused to lift a finger. They didn't prosecute anything. The district attorney didn't get involved. And here you have multiplicities of law enforcement that have to work together to protect our city. And I think the sheriff does a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, the public comment was for line item 4 only, 2026 priorities, tasks, and benchmarks.
Okay. Hi. My name is Danny. I'm the founder of a company called Dignify. We're a tech nonprofit. So I just wanted to take this opportunity because I noticed we talked about staff safety and tech needs in your agenda. And just thought I would share. So my background, so I was a techie in the past, went to school, et cetera. And then I was incarcerated. I actually spent most of my time in San Francisco County Jail. All I can say is I'm not trying to brag about my past accolades. What I'm trying to highlight is coming out of incarceration, even with somebody who had family support, who had an education and some kind of career, it's extremely terrifying. I just want to highlight that I made several hundred calls to organizations and maybe 75% ever picked up. I went to a few of these places and was treated pretty rudely, right? So I think that all that comes down to a lack of data on the city's part. The city, I believe the city doesn't really know which organizations are doing well and which are not, which is my kind of mandate that I took upon myself to try to solve. So our technology is helping not only people find these resources, but we're collecting ground truth data on people's experiences through these organizations. And so all I'm here to say is I'm proposing that maybe, I don't know if this is the right forum, so forgive me, I'm still trying to figure out how the city works as well. I didn't have a field trip like you did, so still trying to figure that out, but if I can maybe do a presentation or something about maybe how we can work together to make this assistant a lot better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You may leave your contact information with Dan Lerner.
Yeah, I'll get my card. Yeah.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jay Kim. I am also involved with Dignify, with Danny. Sorry, this is very new for me as well, this kind of forum for me. I am also formerly incarcerated. I spent 3 years at the San Quentin Rehabilitation Center. I know I'm supposed to address the whole board here, right, everybody here, but I'm very familiar with Marion Shakespeare and with Leslie, right? She says hello. And I'm here because as somebody who is formerly incarcerated and who is currently on parole, it is a nightmare. My housing situation is incomprehensible. Having a parole agent who is not supportive is dehumanizing, and it does not make me feel like I'm well-deserving or belong back in society. And so I say this all to say that I want to second what Danny was presenting, where is there a possibility we can have a conversation? We can have a conversation where we can have a platform that serves the people, and we can have a collaborative effort with the different agencies, with the different CBOs, with different community leaders and influencers and activists. Can we come together and really find a solution? And the solution and the issue is the data, right? Is there a way we can tackle this together, collaboratively? And that's really all I wanted to say and present. And just thank you so much for allowing me a chance and opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Malik Washington again. I want to specifically and be very intentional about addressing a line item. I believe prison legal services is one of the items that we were talking about, right? Okay, so within that realm of talking about prison legal services, I think it's very important that we revisit the sheriff's policy of strip searching individuals when they talk to their attorneys, because it creates it makes people leery of interacting and exercising, that Sixth Amendment to a constitution is very serious. And I think what we should be revisiting that and looking at the security interest as opposed to the constitutional guarantee to access to counsel. This is something, and then we start to get into the realm of access to courts. And now I want to talk about grievances and prison legal services. When you file a grievance, a valid grievance, maybe you file a grievance on a sheriff because you felt that they were disrespectful and they filmed you while you were in a state of address. Maybe you file that. When you do that, Do you realize that there's retaliation inside the San Francisco County Jail that comes to people? You attract retaliation, and it might manifest itself in a unwarranted cell search, okay? You might not have any contraband in your cell, okay? It might be something, you might have an article of clothing, and they'll go the extra mile to enforce that specific, not because you had an extra article of clothing, but because you filed a valid grievance against someone who violated your rights. And I just want you to think about that, okay? I want to tell you about briefly, I am an honorably discharged U.S. Army veteran. I was in a pod in the jail, San Bruno Jail, the cover program.
Sorry, your time is up.
Thank you.
Again, okay, first of all, there are no deputies present here. And I mention that because you say here sheriff challenges are going to be on your agenda for next year. Where are the deputies to hear us? Why aren't they in this room? Next, I want to address holding deputies accountable. Put on your agenda for next year, please, explaining why someone should file a complaint and what will happen to it. I don't see anything in your minutes from the past year about how deputies were held accountable. Isn't that supposed to be part of this? Tell us how you are holding them accountable and why someone should file a complaint. Next, you talk about community engagement. You need to start with a full discussion about implementing remote public comment. That is in addition to your community town halls. It is very important that folks who have been traumatized by deputies do not have to come here and go through the deputy security clearance desks. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I want to point out that for January, you are listing some items here, but on your website, it says that your January meeting is canceled. Are you canceling that meeting? If not, update your website, please. And regarding January, you know what needs to be on your agenda? Cooperation between ICE and the sheriff's deputies. How are they collaborating with ICE? I believe the sheriff's office is collaborating with ICE, and we need transparency about it, and that should be on your agenda for January. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
I would like to make a motion to actually adopt this draft that Member Afamango presented to us. It gives us a good framework.
The motion that you are asking for is to adopt this draft for before any revisions, or as a draft that will include revisions?
I think we've always accepted the documents as being fluid documents, and as issues come up or things that need our immediate attention, we're flexible to change. But in order to actually get particular speakers, we were always mindful of contacting speakers at least 3 weeks in advance. So if we don't have a particular guideline, we're kind of floundering at the last moment trying to engage the speaker. So I want to be respectful of people's schedules and also making sure that when we want to get someone from the sheriff's office, that we also are coordinating with Chief Ramirez.
So again, my question is, because I'm not sure if I got the answer. Are you creating a motion to adopt this draft in its structure of it? Or are you
no, in its current form,
without any updates to it?
Yes, because we can update along the way. Yeah,
I just wanted to know what your motion. Yes. Yeah, I don't like that motion.
Is there a second?
Before we second that or move forward on that, if I may, one of the reasons why the the term for president is a year, is to give other people an opportunity to present different strategies and different ways of doing things. And so sometimes, again, we are used to being trained in a structure that isn't structured for our best benefit. I'm not saying this is or this isn't, but I really would like us to be able to go into this next year with an open mind of seeing things differently. Again, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I'm not saying this structure needs to change, but I'm saying before we adopt this, I think we should make sure that we add on to it. I think each board member should be able to scribble some notes into this. We collect it. The vice president looks at it over and sees and gives it another opportunity to change. And yes, it is fluid, but to give it an opportunity to include different aspects.
So can we call a motion to push it to the next next meeting so that we could have some time to add some edits as a team?
Yeah.
You don't need a motion.
And
okay. Just
we'll just move it then.
Move it.
I withdraw my motion.
And just from the public comment, I'd like to just say to the gentleman, if you saw last month's meeting, I made specific comment on taking closer look at what goes on and being very disappointed that we have to hear about matters that happens inside of the jail from Mission Local. I think that the relationship that we have with Sheriff Miyamoto and his administration, especially his assistant sheriffs in the higher ups, is one of good communication. And I think we should emphasize, and I think this would be better if we had an IG in place. Like, we would be more informed quicker and move faster. So that's why I thank you for coming and making your comments. And for the gentlemen who are formerly incarcerated who look like tech guys, I would have never guessed in a million years you were formerly incarcerated. That's not a disrespect, but just an observation. I really felt that from you, and I appreciate that. And it is very difficult. And when it comes, when those words come from different faces, it's sometimes brushed off like, well, you shouldn't have been in there. But when it comes from other faces and other voices, then we start to say, hey, let's look at things differently. Let's listen a little bit differently, and let's institute some changes. And one of the meetings that we had, if it wasn't last or the one beforehand, I was saying our county jail has tech problems, the camera systems and a lot of other things. And I made an announcement kind of like over the air, like, we live in a city with great tech people, and can y'all, like, you know, chip in a little bit? You know what I mean? We're in a budget restraint. Chip in some tech, you know, so all of a sudden you guys appear. So I think the voice is out, it's being heard, and I think the process is working. Thank you very much, gentlemen, everybody. Any more dialogue on that topic, or can we move to item number 5?
Calling line item 5, future agenda items, discussion, and possible action. Members will engage in the discussion regarding possible agenda topics for upcoming meetings.
I think the elephant in the room is what it is, and we've already made a statement on that to make sure that we are in compliance as well. So we're not going to talk deeply about that. But to the gentleman's question, the item was asked to be raised, but it was just a little bit too late to get it according to the rules and regulations. So we made sure that we left a lot of room for general public comment. A lot of times our meeting is heavy with presentations, with facts, with data. As the gentleman started, what are we doing with the data? Does the data result in changes? If the data doesn't result in changes, then it's just data for data's sake, so that we could write on a report that we did some research, we have some numbers, and we met the, what do you call it, deliverable. That's not going to be for this year. This year, we're going to look at things for what they are, how they are, and we're going to suggest ways of changing that from the root to the fruit. I don't know if y'all know what that means, but everything starts with a root, right? From the seed, it starts with the root, and then it bears fruit. And you know what it's about by the fruit that it bears. I ask, when are we going to get to a place where we don't have these meetings? Where are we going to get to a place when we know that the people that we trust with in authority, this doesn't come around but every once, two, 3 years, five, a decade. You know what I mean? Like, there are cities, there are places in the United States of America that don't have these problems. Granted, this is 7 square miles and 7 square cubic feet high in the air. You know what I mean? Like, it goes up in the air just as well as this wide, right? So we have unique problems. We have representation from all over the world. We are a destination of tourists. We're a destination of people with dreams and aspirations in business and culture and so on and so forth, faith groups. So having that open mind, having that open dialogue to where we're hearing each other and we're discussing things is how we're going to get to that place. And I think San Francisco's in desperate need of that conversation. So for future items,
the time of this meeting, 2 o'clock, you know, talking about, is there a potential of changing this time to a time that would allow community to further engage, or even based on the comment community made about being able to join in virtually and comment virtually. I think there's a lot of community members that would join.
So we struggled so hard to get the meeting, and it's because there's a lot of boards and commissions. So we struggled so hard, and we know it's not convenient. I personally take a day off, a vacation day, to attend these meetings. So not everyone can do that. And thankfully, I don't have to travel as much for work anymore, but we understand that, and we've taken note of that. It's just the ability to actually secure a room.
What can we do about the online Zoom? And that's maybe a question for Jesse and Dan. Like, do we have the tech ability to have people call in? Because I do agree, not only with the community member, but like just it's helpful for the community. I don't know a lot of people from my community.
It was during COVID we were able to do it, and we didn't have the same kind of support. I also want to remind people, you know, it's part of our budget as well. So, you know, keep that.
It costs money for the Zoom.
Yeah. Not that there's a replacement for, you know, money versus our work, but as we're struggling to even have an inspector general.
And I also like to just bring to our attention one of the things that the Commission for Streamlining is doing is opening up rooms and times for us. So let's keep that on mind. Let's put it on the agenda to make sure that our ability for the community to be online, not have to make their way here on Fridays. Let's check on that. Let's make sure that that's being done, because that was the first time it was brought to my attention, and I think the board in general. But I think we can look in now in looking for space when space is available. I think there's going to be some open boardrooms and times and dates. So let's put that on the agenda, too.
Yep, I agree.
And I have a question. And since I'm new to this, please tell me if we can't do this. But just to address the fact that we didn't have on our agenda with enough notice the ability to make a statement about something that has been in the public news, mm-hmm. can there be a standing agenda item that allows for those announcements so that we don't have to worry about?
It was actually at the very top. It's considered an announcement, okay. that very top line. Okay.
Yeah, I see that. And I'm not so sure that that's as clear as maybe it could be as to what we mean by announcements.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be nice just for future, for especially with very public sensitive items like this, I think we need to make sure we have room in the agenda to like know how we address it, even if we have a statement like what William had. Right.
And then if obviously there's need for further discussion, that becomes its own separate. Unique agenda item.
And the reason is this is such a sensitive. I mean, all these items that are sensitive under pending investigation, and now it's pending litigation. We generally do not comment on it. We know about these things. We generally don't comment, though.
Well, I agree that we understood that we cannot comment on it legally, but it's more of like how we talk to the community about it. This is, I think, is what we're hoping to do for future, you know, notice like they feel that we have a place in the space to address this, you know, even if it's like, we can't talk about this, but we hear you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not wait till item 6 or 5 or at the end of the meeting where you have to sit through 2 or 3 hours to talk about something so important. So again, let's structure our agenda as priorities.
Yeah.
And I think that presentations are great. We're going to have them. They're great. But public comment is greater than a presentation. What you guys want to know, get answers and solutions, to me, is more important than a presentation on maybe like whatever, something general. You know, now I'm not saying that all presentations are equal, but if the presentation is just a general, like we had the sister come in and talk about gardening and food, that's great for me. I wanted to hear it right away, right? But I'm just one person. And to former president Sue's comment, we are volunteers. We are doing this mostly out of the kindness of our hearts to want to help our city, right? So please be gentle. I'm a novice. I'm sure some of us are, and some of us are a little bit more skilled in the city politics and agencies. But we're here because we love you, and we, as you can hear, we want to make sure that we do right by you.
So, Mr. President, I'll help guide you a little bit. So I would suggest early on that you work with our city attorney and our board secretary to craft an agenda earlier. And
I did. What you think. And the agenda that we have today is the agenda that I wanted. Okay. I wanted it to be open. I wanted it to be fast. I wanted us to get in and get out and leave room for the public to say what they needed to say for this month. You know, mm-hmm. I felt that what we couldn't say, you guys could. And so I left that open for y'all to say.
I think also for future item, just having, I see a lot of community here, and so I definitely want to hear more from Dignified, and I see Latino Task Force here, the a committee here for that's here, and so just putting in future agenda items, some report from community or ways that they can collaborate with us will be great.
And I think another future item that I'd like to put on the agenda is, instead of the stipend they give us for parking, if they could just give us a parking sticker and we could just park in the little parking spaces right out front and walk on over. That'd be nice.
That would be great.
We could put that on the agenda, a parking sticker.
The Board of Supervisors. Get to park
there. They're trying to make changes to us now. So let's ask the mayor if he's going to make any changes to our board, give us a parking sticker. Uh-huh. And so general comment is coming up, and I would love to get to that so that everybody can. Is there any other items we'd like to include for future agenda items? That's good.
I was going to say, so, you know, nothing is achieved by our body alone. It's collaboratively with other city departments. And so true. I think if the newer board members in particular, people who are newer to city government, even if you've been on this board, to understand the structure and how things work. For example, last month we discussed a new bill that was signed by the governor looking at confidential personnel records. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to sound like the attorney says, wait, put your brakes on it. But what we need to do, we need to really be mindful of what we're undertaking. And so I actually said that we'll take time with Sheriff's Legal as well as the city attorney's office on policy. And you know, what our obligations are, and then also for our board to craft a policy on reviewing those records, reviewing videos. I, as an attorney, and I have said this to my friends, I am not willing to jeopardize my bar license for rogue activity on the board. And that means that if you do want to look at something with another eye, that means you're looking at every single minute of footage, of video. You can't pick and choose. And so if you've got, you know, lots of hours, then that maybe that's a possibility. And then there's also closed session discussions. But I also hope that, DPA could actually make a presentation. And if this engenders more confidence for the board as well as the public of how investigations are undertaken, how they come to their conclusions, I think that would be really fruitful. DPA is very careful at what they do, and they've won awards for the work they do and timeliness. So I, would want some input, and part of these meetings are also to inform the public, because as much as they know about what actually we have presently versus what is on our dream list and the potential gaps, whether that be personnel or financial, would be really helpful. I think what we have missed this entire year has been an inspector general to actually be the conduit for information. Actually, as we're discussing future agenda items, I think, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that. I think Member Afuomango actually expressed that perhaps this process could be streamlined a little bit because we were successful with the job announcement that we ultimately came up with, and then the questionnaire, and then the confidential questions during the interview process. And I just want to remind all the board members and Member Lozano, since you're new, that you have to go through a training. And so I don't know if you've been able to log on and do that. It's a short training so that we can properly conduct unbiased interviews. So so there's a streamlined timeline. Hopefully we can start entertaining interviews by the spring. DHR was so great the last time, and the recruiting firm is fine, but I feel like I'm having to train the recruiting firm, to be honest. And so, but I know that DHR is very impacted because they've had a lot of hiring that they've needed to do. So we also had, I think enough community feedback. I don't know how many extensive meetings we might need to have. And Member Ortiz, I will, leave that to you. We went out to the Latino Task Force and had some feedback. President Palmer, you were at the jails. We were at the jails trying to get some feedback from those incarcerated, what they looked for in an inspector general. And because we had such a great inspector general, they're going to be, big shoes to fill. But at the same time, there's a lot of uncertainty because of the budget. So it makes the process even more difficult. So I just want to put that out there to the public.
If I can, since you're on that subject, I also will be meeting with the recruitment firm. Oh, I think we all are, right? We're all going to meet individually, right? And I also do have someone from ACLU that just wants to connect with me and kind of have some input on the IG recruitment as well, job description.
So I think what would be helpful
are these, future agenda items, or yes, is this general public comment?
No, this is future agenda item.
What's the item that you are asking
Inspector
to put on?
Inspector General.
Okay.
Okay.
And the next step. So right now we're in the process of the recruitment firm said they were going to interview each individual board member, and then they will interview members of the sheriff's office as well, including the sheriff, and get their feedback on what they thought about an inspector general and then the interactions, which is really helpful because I think I'm not into splashy headlines. I think we did make change. We just don't advertise it. I don't know if maybe we should be advertising everything.
We should.
But, we have the inspector general's report. We have our annual reports. The one time we did have a full board meeting was when there was an in-custody death, and it wasn't handled with the most sensitivity in announcement to the family. So the protocol changed, and we haven't had, negative feedback since. And that doesn't mean we're not improving a step at a time. But I'm just saying that we do, once something comes to our attention, we do, I as president would always discuss it with the sheriff's office, and those incremental changes were made. So, and then we have quarterly, we have the quarterly jail meetings as well. But, you know, a lot of this is also on our website.
Yeah.
And so when you're mentioning that someone with the ACLU, I would think that, you know, I think as someone who's the liaison to this hiring process, I would prefer that people actually submit written comments, mm-hmm. and that way it's, you know, open to the public.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I don't want to prolong this item any longer, but I do want to say, are we able to add to the agenda the topic of updating that current MOU that is with Sheriff's Department and DPA? Are we able to talk about that to see if we can update it to further, you know, expand our purview and have, you know, because right as my understanding right now, they only investigate excessive force and deaths. Other than that, you know, they don't investigate anything other than that. And so how can we update that MOU?
So that MOU isn't within our purview. It's an agreement between the sheriff's office and
I believe that we can work with the city attorney, correct, office and DPA to talk about.
I will let Jesse answer that.
I don't know off the top of my head, honestly, mm-hmm. but I could certainly follow up.
Thank you.
I will also say that it's a capacity issue.
Well, I've spoken to Marshall Kine, which he's the one who shared with me that the proper way is to ask President Palmer to reach out to the city attorney to request more information on that.
Yeah.
So I just say that, you know, maybe it might be helpful for Dan. I know that there's been a number of suggestions, but I don't know if you want to summarize it for Dan in terms of the actual items for the future agenda that you're thinking. Or Dan, maybe you can say what you have.
So I'm going to say you don't have to do it my way, but in the past when we've had a particular suggestion requiring the city attorney's input, it's been put in writing.
Yeah,
and direct to the city attorney. So.
And again, I think I'll go with President Palmer to also be that liaison and lead on that conversation. But the item I'm requesting is, you know, update on the MOU or updating the MOU.
Yeah, I'm going to have to change a few things. I had this perfect spoken word that I was going to deliver instead of in writing, but maybe I'll put it on paper. I'm just kidding. Let's move on to agenda item number 6. Yes, my bad. Thank you, sir.
At this time, members of the public wishing to provide comments regarding line item 5, future agenda items, are invited to approach the podium when it becomes available.
Okay, hi, Michael Petrellis again. For future items, when you're discussing public comment, there's a matter I want to bring up that I didn't bring up before, and that is health reasons. You know, I'm vaccinated for really everything, but I get so nervous coming into any enclosed room. I always have a mask with me, and I think that a good reason why you have remote public comment is for immune-compromised people living with HIV, who are at risk when we come into a closed environment like this, even with the ventilation. So please keep that in mind. Also, for future agenda items, let's get the sheriff here to discuss the budget. He's always getting an increase for the budget. Why? I don't know. I don't think it's always justified. I'd also like for you to put on the future agenda overstaffing. So many times I come here through the Polk Street, Carlton Goodlett entrance, and there's like 6 deputies standing around to go through your purse, you know, your backpack. Do we really need so many deputies to staff those security things? I don't know, but we need to discuss it. And also, when you're discussing your future agenda items, look at overtime. I believe that there is abuse by deputies racking up a lot of overtime that is not justified. And I think you could provide a lot of financial oversight in the future about these items. Thank you.
Thank you.
Malik Washington again. I want to piggyback on the last gentleman's comment. So I actually got to take a look at staffing from a front row seat inside the jail. And staffing or understaffing is a serious issue when we start to talk about access to programming and also access to legal issues. So if we're, for instance, say that we're overstaffing at the city hall, then maybe we need to rethink it, because I'm telling you now, the jail is regularly, almost grossly on lockdown. And the reasoning is understaffing. Okay, so we understand that security is the overall, you know, it trumps everything. So it also trumps when someone is in a drug rehabilitation class, when someone is in a vocational training class, when someone is in an anger management class, when someone is in a cognitive behavior class to help them make a smooth and successful transition back into society, it actually falls upon understaffing. So if there could be some closer monitoring on places that are overstaffed, because we definitely need more staffing inside the jail. And that's from a security standpoint, but it's also for a standpoint of volunteers and people who provide services to our incarcerated population cannot come into the jail if the jail is understaffed and it's on lockdown. So these are things that we have to be thinking about. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Stone Selseth. I do a lot for District 5. I work with many organizations, but here today, I'm here with Dignify. And I'd really like to, in the future, for possible agenda items, see what kind of collaboration that can be done between the Sheriff's Department and SFPD, because people going into the system come out of the system, and a lot of times they're not given the right tools to, you know, succeed in life. And yeah, that's something I'd like to see, is somehow possible collaborations between SFPD, the Sheriff's Department, and see what kind of technology can be implemented to help people, you know, live and have a more successful society. Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling line item 6, general public comment. Members of the public may now comment for up to 2 minutes on matters within the Sheriff's Department Oversight Board's jurisdiction that are not on today's agenda. Neither Sheriff's personnel nor board members are required to answer questions, though they may offer brief responses. If you wish to speak, please approach the podium when it is available. You will have a maximum of 2 minutes.
Hi, Michael Petrelis again. I want to discuss the complaint I filed against Deputy Andrew Martinez 2 years ago. I filed the complaint, and the complaint against him had to do with what I believe was harassment of me here in City Hall. And I wrote out the complaint about Deputy Andrew Martinez, explained what my complaint was, and you know who investigated it? The sheriff. The sheriff accepted the complaint and never contacted me. They never asked me to have a phone call with them to explain more details. And I think it was about a month later. I have all the documentation, by the way, if you put investigations and how they are processed when you complain against the deputy. After about a month, I had to badger the sheriff's department. What's going on with my complaint? Why aren't you calling me in? Why don't you call me on the phone to have an investigation, a real investigation against Andrew Martinez? And eventually, they absolved him of any wrongdoing.
Well, you know, I put in a complaint all over social media that it is wrong for the colleagues of Andrew Martinez to investigate him, and not interview the complainant, and then absolve Andrew Martinez of any wrongdoing. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there needs to be some real explanation about complaints against deputies when they are filed with this body or with the sheriff. How do we know there's an independent complaint process? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Malik Washington again. This will be my last comment for today. But it's actually, I have a question for the president. Mr. Palmer, I'm familiar with you, you're familiar with me, and I'm privy to some information that there's going to be a tour in the jail soon. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes?
There's tours, regular tours.
Okay. Now, this is my question is along the lines of a tour. Is there any allocation or accommodation for there to be unannounced inspections of the jail? And let me suss it out a little bit more. Say one of the board members received a letter from a young woman who felt like she was being intimidated or coerced into some behavior by someone that was working at the jail. And is there a means for the board to make unannounced inspections? And that's my question. Could you kind of give me a little bit of insight, or someone here could tell me something on that, on along those lines, please?
Thank you for that question.
Is that an attorney answer?
Yeah, I mean, so we can talk to you. We can't have a back and forth during general public comment. And so if you want to stick around afterwards, you can talk with one of us as well.
Thanks.
There we go. Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Almendares, and I am here on behalf of the Latino Task Force Reentry Committee. And I'm here today to speak about the use of solidarity confinement inside the San Francisco County Jail and the deep harm it is causing. Right now, there are people that are being held in solidarity confinement, not because they are in danger, but because the system is using isolation as a punishment. I'll repeat that again. Not because they are a danger, but because the system is using isolation as punishment. Some individuals are being kept in these conditions for long periods of time. They may get to go out and walk during indoor recreation times inside the pods, but they still remain cut out from the outside world. Cut off from support and cut off from their families. What is even more concerning and heartbreaking is that many of these individuals are being denied in-person contact with their children. Some visits have been completely ripped away. There are no meaningful processes for reunification, no plan to keep families connected, and no clear path for people to work their way out of solitary confinement and back into general population. Family connection is not a privilege, it is a lifeline. Children should not be punished for what their parents are going through. These policies do not promote safety, they cause trauma, and they destabilize families as they make reentry harder, not easier for the punished, and they punish the very people who have done nothing wrong, which is the children. So we are calling on the Sheriff's Department and this oversight board to take immediate action on the following. One, review and limit the use of solitary confinement. Two, restore family visitation, especially for parents. Three, establish reunification process. Four, create transparency. San Francisco cannot keep people in isolation without offering hope, healing, or a way forward. We cannot harm families in the name of public safety, and we cannot continue practices that punish children for circumstances they did not create.
Thank you so much.
Well done.
Is there any other public comment?
Okay.
Any other?
Do we have any comment on the public comment?
We don't comment on the public comments.
No public comments on the public
comments. Calling line item 7, adjournment, action item. Having completed the agenda and no further business discussed, this meeting is adjourned at 3:38 p.m.
Thank you.